Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Action Cast for week of May 2nd, 2011. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Joe.
America!
Fuck yeah!
There you go.
And Chris.
Hey.
No, like, quote or anything this week, Chris?
No, not yet.
Okay. So, I think we got...
Fuck yeah! Sorry.
That was delayed, Joe.
That was the last time.
So we got a pretty big show this week. We're going to be doing our big summer blockbuster preview, and what a summer it is. I mean, there's like three huge superhero movies coming out.
It's summer of superheroes.
Yep, and sequels. So we'll get that later. But why don't we start with, like, as we usually do, with like what we've been watching over the last week. So Joe, show and tell, what have you been watching?
Oh boy. you guys Uh-oh. Are in for a treat. You guys are in for a treat this week. First of all, let me get this out of the way. UFC 129 was this past weekend. George St. Pierre versus Jake Shields. Long story short, even George St. Pierre at about, I would say, 70% of his total potential was better than Jake Shields on his absolute best day. So, obviously, George St. Pierre retained his welterweight title, and while it wasn't an epic fashion, it was in very convincing fashion. And though I was thoroughly inebriated by the time the main event took place, I still maintained enough to enjoy it thoroughly.
Okay.
The highlight of the night, though, would have to go to Lyoto the Dragon Machida knocking out Randy Couture and sending him into retirement with the fucking crane kick from the Karate Kid.
Yes.
I wish I was making this up. And you know what? I had a terrible feeling in the pit of my stomach when I saw backstage in that locker room that Steven Seagal was there with Lyoto Machida. You know, these fucking Brazilians, man, they love Steven Seagal. I don't know. I mean, first of all, how do you not love Steven Seagal? Mm. But, like, there's a fine line between enjoying his movies in the company of like-minded friends or watching it, you know, shamefully on TNT at 4 a.m. because you can't sleep. But that's beside the point. These guys are actually seeking him out to, like, train them in the deadly arts of combat, and they're winning with the things that he teaches them. It is frightening. But, yeah, hell of a kick. It's not technically a crane kick, but God damn it, it was close, and I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, probably one of the nastiest hematomas I have ever seen, ever. I mean, it was just crazy. And the bout with Jose Aldo and Mark Hominick, actually looked like E.T. for the fourth and fifth rounds. And I really wish I was kidding. And there are some things in life that I wish I could unsee.
I think I saw a picture of it.
This was definitely one of those things. It was pretty freakish. He looked like he had a skull coming off of his forehead. It was pretty disgusting.
Oh God.
My favorite part of that entire situation, though, is that you can audibly hear the doctor ask Big John McCarthy, the referee. He asks him, can he continue? And John McCarthy goes, yeah, let's keep going. After the fight.
Wait, Big John was back? Joe Rogan,
huh?
Big John
was
back?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's weird because they were in Canada.
Oh, so he can ref in Canada, or he's like not retired in Canada or something?
Well, he can ref in the U.S. also. It's just a little weird because, like, I'm not sure if it's Dana White and the UFC who are keeping him off, or if it's a self-imposed deal where he doesn't want to ref UFC events. Because he went and did he did color commentary for Affliction's Fight promotion, which lasted all of about two pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Him going and jumping ship to the, quote, competition in the UFC's eyes was a big no-no, even though he wasn't technically, like, a UFC employee. Like, he was iconic for having always been a ref in the UFC, but what it really comes down to is that these refs are referees for the state athletic commissions.
Yeah.
So it's not like the UFC has their own refs or their own judges even. It's all dependent on what state they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, he told Joe Rogan after the fight, he goes, dude, I'm not a fucking doctor. I had no idea if he could go on or not, but I just wanted the fight to keep going. So here's to you,
awesome.
Big John. That was pretty fucking everything action of you, sir. So moving on to the actual, like, movies that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy, what was I thinking? Saturday during the day, my friend Mike came out to watch the UFC at my house and get, you know, hammered on some good old-fashioned American craft beers, which was a great experience. But nothing warmed us up for the UFC and the insane amount of alcohol we ingested quite like The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
Netflix instant watch. Let me tell you. First of all, a disclaimer. It was not an awful movie.
I heard it was okay. I did.
You know what? For a Disney movie about fucking magic,
mm-hmm.
with Nicolas Cage in it, they pulled a C+. And I was thoroughly impressed by the fact that I didn't at any point during the movie consider killing myself like I thought I would.
How would you compare it to, like, National Treasure?
Oh, God. Okay. They're sort of the same. I mean, every Nicolas Cage movie is really sort of the same movie when you really break it down. As a matter of fact, what I'd really like to do is create some sort of fucked up timeline that follows Nicolas Cage as one character through all his movies. And just coming up with, like, weird transitional situations that get him from, say, Gone in 60 Seconds to Con Air to Next to Knowing. So, yeah, more on that at a later date. But I'd say it's pretty much in the same boat. I mean, if you can suspend disbelief, you will be entertained. Mm-hmm.
I think it's, like, I think it's like the same director, and, like, Bruckheimer did both of them and stuff, so it's...
Yeah, it's very clearly, like, the same... It's got the same, like, flavor to it.
Family
so
adventure.
Yeah, you know, it's a good... It's definitely a good family movie. I mean, if you're, you know, in your teens or later, or if you're just borderline retarded like I am, there are certain things that you'll laugh at. And if you're a little kid, like, I don't know if it'll hold your attention like a fucking cartoon will, but at the same time, there's enough pretty special effects to, you know... get their eyes to go wide. So in the end, I would say check it out for yourself. Is it going to be your favorite movie? Probably not. But you know what? On the Nicolas Cage scale, and given how insane it looked from the previews, you know, it was pretty great. There are some very, 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 very great opportunities for the YouTube series Great Moments in Movie History, starring Nicolas Cage. Just like, you know, some random out-of-context four-second clips that would showcase his lunacy. Like the answer to one of his questions where he cuts the other dude off. I forget his name. But he turns around and he goes, "Because I'm a wizard!" Just, like, yells it. It was pretty great. So out of context, I feel like that would make anyone LOL. On a similar note, I closed out my weekend by watching Amos and Andrew. Chris,
previously
I know you're
mentioned
a quasi-fan of this, so without getting into too much, I would say that this movie was like, I guess, like a poor man's Do the Right Thing, in the sense that it's kind of like a dumbed down, more comedy-oriented Spike Lee joint. You know, the racism is there. For sure, it's there, but there are more, like, wacky situations, like, you know, and, like, racial puns, which are pretty funny, too, I suppose. And not to be outdone by the epic early 90s-ness of the movie itself is the soundtrack, by one Sir Mix-a-Lot. Title track from the movie Suburban Nightmare. So definitely check that out on the YouTubes if you feel so inclined. It's one of those excellent early 90s soundtrack songs that like is very clearly written for the movie and is about the movie. You know,
like,
it's not like, you know, You Could Be Mine in Terminator 2, where it's like, oh, this is a cool song and it's a cool movie, so whatever. It doesn't have to make sense. It's just a good song in a good movie. This is like, you know, describing what happens in the movie. Then the cops shot at me, but I'm in my house.
So it's like the Nightmare on Elm Street title scene songs.
Yeah, like,
it's like Nightmare on the Block or something.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's like it takes Get Ready for Freddy to like a whole new level. you know, it doesn't reach the status of a James Bond song, but God, does it teeter on the edge. And last but not least, going with my, I guess, random dumbed down racial things, I watched most of the entire series that nobody ever even knew came out, Black Panther, which was adapted for the BET network and is now on Netflix Watch Instant.
It's part of like Marvel's big. They're putting like a ton of their shows on Netflix over the next couple months.
Yeah, but let's preface that with a ton of their shows that never aired, that nobody knows.
Yeah, it was like exists. Like the Fantastic Four, like 2000 show.
Nope.
And like the 90s Incredible Hulk show.
Okay, I remember that. That was on UPN with Iron Man, and it was cool. But
wasn't like they call it like the Power Block or something, or like
yeah. Oh God, it was far from
Jumanji
it.
Show, and yeah, that weird Men in Black sort of show.
No, actually, that was a good Men in Black show. Was kind of good. No, that was on WB.
That was on WB, like, and that blew that shit out of the water. You're talking about like that weird like Bureau, monster
Bureau
of show.
Detectors or something.
Yeah, yeah, that was
B-A-D.
A little
bad.
Bad. And yes, it was. But yeah, actually, you know, I was kind of taken by surprise because I remember reading about the Black Panther show coming out. And I was like, okay, that could be cool. Hooray for a very awesome Marvel character getting his, you know, his dues, you know? And then, you know, not to play the bitter white guy card, but as soon as I saw that it was going to be on BET, I was like, oh, Jesus, like, this isn't going to be about Black Panther anymore. Now it's going to be about, like, you know, the horrors of the Western Caucasian world. And then I found out they were going to be 10 minutes. So it's like, God damn it, like, you're not even going to give your own people a chance? Like, really? We have to show Moesha reruns that bad that we can't give Black Panther a full 22-minute episode? So other than having the best opening and closing songs of all time, which I need to get as a ringtone or an alarm for the morning.
Yeah, they're very, like, blaxploitation awesome.
Oh, Jesus. It's just, like, the most fake, unauthentic African music ever. And they just say things like, you know, they just throw in the word Africa and Wakanda and Black Panther and Lele every now and then. And people are like, wow, that's authentic. So the show itself is actually not bad. Like, it's a cool it's a very cool style of animation. Like, it almost looks like a motion comic, you know, because it's not as fluid as, like, most animation. I think the closest thing to describe it to would be the Watchmen motion comic.
Yeah. I wasn't really digging it. I watched, like, the first episode.
You know what? It's so slow. But by episode four,
like, it's like animation really style. I wasn't really feeling it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It kind of grows on you. Like, the first two episodes, you're like, wow, this is kind of, like, outlandish. But, like, as soon as, like, action starts happening and it's not just, like, background story, it's actually kind of cool. A lot of Marvel supporting cast has been showing up, which I think is fucking cool. Without giving away too many spoilers, you know, one of the most beloved and iconic Marvel characters shows up. We get to see our buddy Juggernaut, as well as some of the, you know, lesser knowns. But, you know, classic X-Men make an appearance, which is kind of nice. And I'm only really, like, just past halfway through because there's only so much Wakanda you could take in the day. But I'm looking forward to finishing it up. And, you know, I definitely suggest, you know, if you have Netflix, watch Instant, and you're a Marvel fan, you know, definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very cool that Marvel is making, you know, even if it's not exactly bringing their A-game to Netflix, you know, at least it's something Marvel to watch. And I guess they're following suit with DC, because I know they put the Superman and Shazam, like, Revenge or Return of, like, Black Adam or whatever.
Those usually go up, like, a couple weeks after they come out.
Yeah, that's so great. It really is. I'm really, really hoping that Avengers cartoon gets thrown
it's
up.
It's going to be up this summer.
Oh, good. Because I'm not kidding. Like, I almost bought it because Amazon had both seasons together for $20.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. So I came pretty close to that. But if it's just going to be up on Netflix, I'll wait for that. Side note about Marvel stuff on Netflix, though, I'm very disappointed that they never threw up the last, like, two or three volumes of Spectacular Spider-Man.
I know.
Because, like, I haven't seen the end of it, but, like, in my head, I think it ends at, like, volume 4. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm satisfied with how that ends. And I'm like, no, damn it, there's still, like, a season and a half left.
I think I've watched up to 6. They're just, like, scattered throughout my Netflix queue. They're probably just, like, randomly show up.
I know, same here. Same here, but I don't get the discs anymore, but luckily Blockbuster has them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hopefully I'll catch up with those soon, but I've got more pressing stuff like Mad Men Season 4, which has been sitting in my house for 2 goddamn weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet. And I'm a terrible chauvinist.
Oh, just related to Marvel stuff on Netflix quick, I would also recommend Iron Man Extremis.
It's in there. I'm going to watch that next, followed by Spider-Woman, because that's what I'm least excited about. But I still just, you know, I still feel like I should watch it and check.
Well, Iron Man Extremis is, like, an awesome motion comic based on, like, one of the best Iron Man stories ever done, so.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm very excited about that. I just found Black Panther first, and because my friend Mike is black, we were like, you know what? I feel like I can watch this with you. Have an honest dialogue about Africa. And how ridiculous this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a good time.
And this will probably this will be up after it airs, but Justify season finale. Amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they need to get out of the way in this one episode, so it's going to be action-packed.
Yeah, the episode is called Bloody Harlan, so.
Ooh.
Hopefully it lives up, like, because, like, last year's season finale was Bulletville, and that definitely lived up to that title, so.
Oh, there were bullets.
Yes.
And there were vills.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I am with that. God, I feel like I watched some of their shows, too, but whatever. I'll just throw in that Justified did kick ass last week.
Yep.
And I haven't been that excited for, like, a finale in a while. Because, like, Lights Out, I was not excited for the finale because I knew it was ending.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, how are they going to tie this up? But Justified, you know there's more coming, so I've got a little more invested in it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so Chris, what have you been watching? Not that you're done with school.
Well, like, we took a break of watching good things for a while, just watching a bunch of old movies. I personally got to manage to watch one thing. I was watching Cage Fury, which I'm not sure if I talked about this. And it's like Eric Estrada's, like, post-Chips movie he was in. And we looked it up online, and, like, no one famous in it is really in it besides, like, Eric Estrada and James Hong, who, you know, is that generic Asian guy in every other kind of setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hold on, give me a sec. And that movie, it's an exploitation movie. It's a early 90s, late 80s exploitation movie about women going to prison and, like, getting, like, molested and stuff. Like, it's a genre.
It's like, it's a heartwarming family tale.
In the vein of, like, Caged Heat.
Yeah.
Roger Corman's 70s ones.
Huh?
Like, Roger Corman's, like, 70s girl women in prison movies.
It has that feeling of,
God,
like,
those are so brutal.
Like, abused by, like, the help there.
All right, girls, get in the shower.
But Warden!
Right. So, like,
it's fire hose on you.
It's got all these cliches. Like, it's about the small town girl who goes to L.A. to become a movie star and gets tricked into, like, going to jail. And then she, but before that, like, she meets Eric Estrada, who's, like, an ex-stuntman, like, biker stuntman. who, like, nice. Befriends her, and then, like, they're like, hey, we should meet up sometime. She's like, okay, I gotta go to this audition. And, like, it's all a trap to get women to go to, like, prison where, like, people could just abuse, like, all these women and, like, strange men abuse women.
God. I just imagine, like, she walks into, like, this audition room. It's like, why is this audition room in a prison?
No, it's actually a really elaborate prat. What happens is, like, the people are setting up have fake studios, so people show up to auditions, and then, like, something goes wrong where, like, people try to molest them, and they're like, no, like, I said stop, and so they call the police, and they show the video of the audition that they're doing, and what their audition is, like, it's really, like, sexual and, like, aggressive,
mm-hmm.
so wow. they use the tape as, like, evidence against the woman, and they go to jail. Everything is rich. It turns out in the end the jail is actually a movie studio, like an old prop or something, and like all the people in the warden, the security officers and stuff are all like just perverted actors.
Jeez. Dun dun dun.
What a twist. It's funny because Eric Estrada is in this movie for maybe like less than 15 minutes.
But he gets like top billing.
Yeah, he gets top
of course.
And but this is other dude who is actually more, like, important. Like, he does all the fighting, basically. And that guy's name was, hold on. Looking it up. His name was, Richard, Barthray?
Okay.
I don't know, he, like, was part of American Combat. Joe, you familiar with that? Like,
yes.
Well, yeah, like, he was, like, one of, like, the early, like, founders of American Combat, who was just like, yeah, karate for everybody. You're gonna work out, you're gonna sweat, probably do some steroids in the dumpster, whatever.
Yeah, sure, that needle, it's okay, you know him.
So, like, he kicks so much ass, but the guy has, like, a long mullet, like, jerry-curled mullet, and a mustache, and he doesn't wear a shirt. And he's right.
Why should he?
No, but the best part is that near the end, like, all the action, he's doing most of the damn fighting. Eric Estrada gets shot in the arm, and he has to go to the hospital. And in the end, like, the dude who kicked most ass doesn't get a girl. He just like, yeah, I just do this for fun. And we're all laughing because Eric Estrada, like, if you see the poster, like, the new poster, Eric Estrada's, like, on the face. He's just on the cover, and, like, he doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, this is actually one scene where he fights someone, and he barely throws a punch. Meanwhile, this other dude just is fucking doing flips, like, breaking shit's fist. Because he's also showing off as, like, his American Combat shit. He's also wearing a shirt that says it at one point, or, like, blatant exploitation of it. I don't know, it's one of those crazy movies that, like, it comes in, like, a five-pack when you buy a DVD.
Martial Arts Mania!
Yeah. So, like, okay, like, give it credit. It's got some awesome, like, awesomely awkward, yeah, tit shots of, like, random girl, like, being strip searched and, like, just soapy. Like, all right, ladies, time for your bath. Like, all right. I remember watching this my freshman year of college, just, like, putting it on and having my RA just walk by. Like, what the hell are you guys watching? Like, nothing.
It's not porn.
Don't mind the screen.
There's a story.
There's a plot with these tits. And then, like, to change the focus, I put on It's Alive.
Nice.
Not the old, like, 80s one.
The new one, right?
Yeah, the new one is... It's something. Like,
good,
It's
bad.
Alive is about a demon baby. But it's basically this woman has a baby who... like, just kills people. And the mom is so, like, delusional. She's like, no, it's okay, baby. Stop killing things. The remake is not so good. I once heard, like, the classic is actually pretty good with, like, with the effects and the whole, like, plot. Like, it's a very detailed plot where, some woman gets, like, some drugs that is supposed to, like, stop her being pregnant, but instead it, like, makes her sick, and she's like, eh, fuck it. And then, like, she has the baby anyway, and the baby turns out to be this mutant hellspawn. That was the original. That was the original. And the new one, though, is like this college girl gets pregnant, and she doesn't want the baby, so she goes online and orders drugs from like a spam bot. You know, ever get those, like, emails that say, like, just starts flashing, like, cheap Viagra and, like, other herbal medicines?
I send those to people.
So, she buys something from that kind of website, you know, like...
MyMexicanDoctor.com.
She buys, like, abortion pills, and she takes them. They don't work. They make her sick, you know, like... That, I'm like, all right, well, that's pretty much one of the effects you're expecting to happen, you dumb college bitch.
Those are Tic Tacs.
And so she says, fuck it, has the baby. And then as she gives birth to the baby, the doctor, like, cuts the umbilical cord, and then the next scene goes to black, and then the next scene's, like, everyone's dead. Like, the woman's alive, but, like, the nurse, the doctor, like, the anesthesiologist person, just dead. And, like, it goes on, and, like, the woman tries to, in her head, she's trying to, like, make excuses. Like, maybe, like, there was a murderer. Like, it couldn't be my baby. But then the baby starts eating, like, the wildlife around the house. Like, it kills the cat. It kills the deer. Like, so the woman starts rationalizing, like, it'll be fine. The baby kills, like, her friends. It terrorizes, like, the neighbors and shit. And I'm just laughing, because... all the effects, you don't see the baby. You see baby view. Like, it's all, like, baby cam. Like, it's just all this crazy, like, baby, like, motions and, like, cooing sounds. And it's, like, first person, like, little hands that like, grab things. So it's kind of funny, like, because it's supposed to be, like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those horror movies where, like, I imagine this situation, you have to fight off a baby, would be kind of difficult. But
hit it with the broom.
In this movie, I'm like, it's not so hard, as long as you don't get, like, on the floor. It seems like all the victims the baby kills are always, like, tripping, and they're like, oh, my shoelace, and, like, the baby just bounces on them. But if you're running, you have a good head start, the baby can't catch up to you.
It has no muscles.
It was born, like, a few months ago.
Was it, like, demon muscles or something?
Yeah, well...
it's got demon strength. Yep.
Well, because the pills magically made it pissed off, and, like, it made it really strong and smart, apparently. Like, I don't know, like, there's a scene like, they're trying to they're rationalizing why the baby's so freakishly, like, demon-like, and they just, like, maybe it's the pills.
Roids.
Oh, well. Roids. Probably.
Maybe it's like its mother and is a total bitch.
Steven, that's not what I need right now.
It's really funny, because I didn't watch the last two sequels of the old version. I watched only the remake. But even then, hold on, like, there's a street sweeper coming by my neighborhood.
Oh, it's fine, but yeah, missed out on It's Alive 3, Island of the Alive.
Oh my God.
I swear to God, you can't make this shit up. It's a fucking island where all these parents send the babies, or, I'm sorry, they send the, like, one baby away to this, like, island. They put it in a basket and, like, send it out to the ocean, and it washes up on a fucking island of other babies. Demon babies, of course, but babies nonetheless.
Does it turn like Lord of the Flies or something?
I kind of couldn't make it through most of it. They were just like demon children, like fighting for supremacy. I wouldn't be surprised if it was coming soon on Netflix.
Yeah, that seems like a Netflix.
Oh, definitely. It's one of those like shit fests that it's like need to watch something to make you feel better about yourself.
An 80-minute like one of those like weird 89-minute movies that like no one's ever seen heard of.
Oh God, how depressing are those? Mm-hmm. Answer: very depressing.
Rapture Island.
Oh Jesus.
So basically, the remake is just funny if you're really drunk and just hate like pregnant moms or something. I don't know. Like we all laugh because we're thinking like the like a good. Portion of like the first 20 minutes of the movie kind of is like the what if Juno kept the baby? Because it's like this girl who like is sassy and it's like I'm in college and pregnant and blah blah my life's just going well still and we're just kind of like oh okay well this is a horror movie so you're obviously gonna be the one who like becomes like traumatized and we're pretty much correct we were correct we're like she's like she goes from like being this happy spunky like college student to like just crazy cat lady syndrome, just like, no, the world, I hate you, I love my baby. Meanwhile, the baby's, like, dragging, like, a bear, just like,
a bear. I killed this bear.
I love you, mama.
I want to see that movie matched up with Four Keeps.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, college classic right there, Four Keeps.
Jesus.
So anything else, Chris?
No, that's about it. I like Cage Fury and like It's Alive. It's just a weird like movie night where it's like, well, let's not do this again, mixing these two things. It's kind of like, it's kind of like when you mix alcohol too much. This is like the result. It's like if you saved with one thing all the way through, fine. But besides, you want to throw in some like magical drink there, like It's Alive. You're like, okay, it's different tasting. Mm-hmm. It's like mixing like whiskey and then throwing like a Smirnoff Ice. You're just like, it's your whole night's gonna not gonna end well.
A Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity of alcohol.
We'll have to watch something horrible this weekend, Chris.
Yeah.
So, what I've been watching, get some TV stuff out of the way first. South Park is back.
Oh, boy.
Did you guys watch it?
Hell yeah, that was fucking great.
The human Sentipad.
Why can't it read?
The FBI comes and like captures them and like brings them to the hospital, and it's like, I can't perform the surgery until you sign this. It's like, okay. And it's like, damn it, it's still not learning to read.
That was so good.
I think my favorite part though was like when they go to the Apple store and like try to consult the geniuses. Okay, I see that you have so should I give them store credit or If you just hold on a second, we're going to perform the Tokuraka-roka, whatever the Rushanmaro. They do, like, the crazy laser thing. It's like, did your friend have the iPad 4 or iPad 5? Yeah, so it was, like, disturbing in the only way South Park can be.
Yes.
Oh, Kyle, should I eat the cuttlefish and asparagus or vanilla paste?
Vanilla paste, cuttlefish.
Oh, Kyle! Oh,
sorry, Kyle.
It is coming, Kyle. Oh, God. Yeah, so that was great. And last Steve Carell Office episode was on last week, and I don't know. I wasn't really feeling it. I thought it was gonna be bigger than it was. It was just sort of.
I didn't watch it.
It was just sort of there. Like I chuckled a couple times, but. The Office, like, it just gets more and more boring every week. Especially compared to, like, Community and Parks and Rec, which are just fucking hysterical. The Office is just like, yeah, I smile or chuckle a couple times, that's about it. Like, the Will Ferrell stuff was, like, horrible last week. They had, like, this weird, like, he had, like, his sales technique is, like, going to an animal shelter and, like, stealing dogs from people. It's like, what is going on? So I'll probably like watch the end of the season, but then I don't know, I might be done with The Office.
Nice.
And then let's see. Oh, The Confession wrapped up on the internet on Monday. The Kiefer Sutherland web series on Hulu.
I still need to watch that shit.
Which ended pretty awesome. It was like, it kind of reminded me of Phone Booth a little bit, but but yeah, definitely check that out, that web series out, 'cause it's awesome. And also, Mortal Kombat web series continues to be awesome as well. The Melina Katana episode came out this week. So I had like the whole back, like introduced Shao Kahn and everything, and Baraka.
Nice.
Baraka looks like he looks like an orc from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he does.
With like crazy hair. But
yeah, it's very true.
But he was stabbing people left and right, so it was pretty badass. And then, for movies, I saw a double dose of Fast and Furious.
Oh, well, baby.
We can survive that.
Well, good Fast and Furious, not like... Well, I mean, they're all good in their own ways, but I watched... first, I watched Tokyo Drift, because that was the only one I hadn't seen, like, all the way through. I just catched, like, the last 20 minutes or something on TNT. So, finally watched the whole thing. And, I can see why it's a fan favorite, because it's, like... It knows it's stupid and just, like, runs with it. But I think, like, it sets the bar a little bit too high in the beginning. Like, the ridiculous bar when they have, like, the race through the development. With, like, Zachary Ty Bryan is, like, the douchey high school guy. And, like, they have, like, the race that ends in, like, both of them horribly crashing and then, like, somehow surviving. But then it's got some, like, some good drift racing and, shows how insane Japanese culture is.
Every girl is a schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're 40.
Yep. Pachinko. Even when they're like 2, yeah. And they love those fucking lollipops too.
Mm-hmm. And like pachinko bars and I don't know. Sassy black friends selling everything.
Bow Wow. Mm-hmm. Is it Bow Wow in that movie?
He's like con man street vendor kind of. Like the first thing he says to the kid when he shows up in school is like, "Yo, man, you need a laptop? I see you don't have a laptop. I got a pair of Jordans too if you want them."
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I also love like the life or death drift race through Tokyo. That like there's that one awesome part where like they get to that intersection, like all the there's like 100 people in the intersection. They have like clear a perfect turn, so they can drift through the turn through all the people. And like the climactic like drift race down the hill. That they and they somehow like modify like a Charger into a drift car. So yeah, Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
It's definitely like the turning point of like Fast and Furious to like ridiculousness, which culminates in Fast 5, which I saw on Monday.
Oh geez.
And my God, that movie is like they turned the dial to 11 and broke it off. Because it is fucking...
Broke that shit off.
It is fucking crazy. Like, it starts out, like, directly where Fast and Furious left off, with, like, Brian and Mia trying to, like, break Dom out of the prison bus. And they do it by, like, Brian stops his car in front of the bus and flips it, and it flips, like, 20 times, and, like, everyone's pretty much, like, in real life, everyone would be dead, but, like, apparently no one dies, and they get Vin Diesel out, and then... They head down to Rio because their old buddy Vince is down there. If you remember him from the first one, he has arm cut up in like the wire.
Yeah, I read the credits and I'm like, why is he in this movie?
Yeah, he's like settled in Rio and like he like gives them like he has like a job for them. And he says like it's an easy job, but it involves them like breaking onto a train and ripping the side of the train off and like shoving cars onto like this custom made buggy flatbed that like slingshots the cars off the train. And, like, launches them into the desert.
See, the cool thing about trains is it's a linear path. Like, you can't get off the rails.
Yeah.
So why won't they just stop the train?
Well, they're hijacking it in motion, like, while it's going. But then, of course, they get double-crossed by, like, the evil, like, Rio drug dealer's henchmen. So...
I think Vince, because my money would have been on him.
Well, he's sort of, like, shifty through the whole movie, but... But yeah, like, so Vin Diesel, like, they get into a fight with, like, the henchmen and, like, some DEA agents get killed because, like, the cars, I guess, were, like, DEA evidence or something. So they're, like, Dom and, like, their crew are, like, wanted for, like, DEA murders now. And then they survive, like there's, like, a crazy, like, fight where, like, Brian, like, takes over the dune, like, the flatbed truck thing and like crashes into the side of the train and then like he and Dom have to like get into this convertible and like jump off like this is like 200 foot cliff and somehow survive that too.
Well, I was looking at that because I know he did the same kind of stunt in XXX where he jumps off the convertible.
Yeah, but that was like for the crazy like Tony Hawk web video or something. Where, like Tony Hawk was like driving the car or something or
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so because they're wanted by the agent like. For the DEA agent's murder, like, the Rock gets called in, because he's, like, the dude they call in when they want to, like, arrest people. So he and his team show up, like, straight from Modern Warfare 2, pretty much. Like, they're from, like, Task Force 141 or something. So he shows up and, like, starts blowing up Rio trying to find them. And then, while, like, Rock is still looking for them, they're playing, like, this, like, heist of, like, the drug dealer's, like, all his money. Because they find, like, this chip in one of the cars that, like, tells the location of all the money houses. So then they like, destroy one of the money houses so that the guy will, like, put all of his money in one, like, a giant vault that they can steal. Then they bring in, like, all, like, the Fast and the Furious All-Stars as, like, for, like, the an Ocean's 11, like, heist caper. And then, so you got, like, Tyrese and Ludacris from 2 and, like, Han from Tokyo Drift and some people from 4. And they're pretty much, like, exactly the same as you remember them. So if you're a fan of Fast and Furious, you'll appreciate that.
So all the same haircuts.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. Well, Luda doesn't have his crazy afro like he had in 2. But, like, actually the only character to change is, I don't know if you guys remember from Fast and Furious, the girl, Giselle. She was, like, the henchman. She was, like the assistant to, like, the bad guy. And, like, Dom sort of, like, turned her to the good side. But she shows up, and, like, they turned her pretty much into, like, straight-up Fiona from Burn Notice. Like, she, like, shows up with, like, tons of guns and, like, kicking people's asses and stuff. So, yeah, it gets crazier and crazier. There's, like, a straight-up, like, the Modern Warfare 2, like, favela level. There's, like, pretty much reenacted shot for shot in this movie. With, like, The Rock, like, jumping through windows and, like, them have, like, shooting, like, rebels shooting at them and all sorts of stuff. And then it ends with, like, the crazy, like, they have a bank vault tied to the back of their cars and, like, using it as, like, a fucking battering ram or, like a, I don't know. It's, like, using it to, like, destroy cop cars. And all the stunts are, like, all the action are really, really well done. And, like, actually, like, they actually use, like, practical stuff, like, practical effects and, like, stuntmen. So, like, it's a refreshing change of pace from, like, CG crap.
That's cool.
Oh, and,
going back to old school standards.
And amazing fight scene between The Rock and Vin Diesel. Like, they're, like, smashing each other through walls and, like, breaking tables and smashing windows and breaking car windshields. It's just, like, it's, like, two Hulks just, like, smashing each other. It's awesome.
It's pretty bitchin'.
Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely an awesome way to start out the summer. And I highly recommend going to see it. And, oh, if you see it, make sure you stay through the, there's an animated credit sequence, and if you stay through that, there's, like, a secret ending. Ooh. That sets up Fast and Furious 6.
God damn it.
And it's gonna be even crazier.
What? But, see, they're just avoiding Tokyo Drift. They're trying to separate...
This is like everything is a prequel to Tokyo Drift. Yeah, like if you believe like the secret ending, like The Rock is going to be back again.
Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Rock like definitely steals the show.
Because that's what I want is The Rock in my car movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not gonna be car movies anymore. It's gonna be like heist movies, which I'm all for because like. We can keep having, like, ridiculous action sequences. So, yeah, awesome way to start out summer. And we'll get to more summer stuff later. But why don't we get into news, and we'll talk about some trailers that came out. There was a bunch because of Fast and the Furious coming out, and so everyone wants to get, like, their summer movie trailers out. So, first up, we have the trailer for Transformers 3. So we had, like, the teaser trailer. We had the Super Bowl teaser trailer, and now we have, like, a full trailer for Transformers 3. So, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it looks solid. It doesn't really look bad, but didn't, like, blow me away or anything, but I'll still see it. I'm still excited mm-hmm. to see where it goes.
Yeah, I don't really want to get my hopes up because we got so burned with Transformers 2. But, I mean, yeah. it does look awesome. And, like, Michael Bay and everyone's apologized for 2, and... Like, 2 was, like, during the writer's strike, so they didn't really have a script.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully all that got ironed out. Chris, any thoughts about Transformers 3?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much.
I think you went to go deal with the street sweeper or something, so...
Oh, goddamn street sweepers.
So, yeah, Transformers 3. Out in July.
Yes, it is.
So also, we had the Deathly Hallows Part 2 trailer.
Don't even need to see it.
Yeah,
I saw it.
It'll be cool.
You saw the trailer, Chris?
I saw the trailer of that. I probably should see the first movie before I try to piece it together, ruin it for myself.
I'm sure you'd be very lost if you try to go see Part 2 without seeing anything else.
Yeah, I'm just like, wait a minute. When did he get this old?
Mm-hmm. Who? What?
Wasn't he like 10?
Yeah. The last one you saw was like Chamber of Secrets or something.
Yeah. Wait, when did Hermione get tits? What the fuck?
I mean, it looks good. I'll probably just wait till like they all come on DVD or something and just like marathon them or something. I guess it's supposed to have like a crazy epic battle though, like Lord of the Rings style. which I guess the first movie just has been building to this one. And it's in 3D, so it's gonna be like super ginormous, record breaking. So then we also have the trailer for Immortals, which is from visionary director, in quotes, Tarsem Singh, who did The Cell and The Fall. It's also from the producers of 300, and it definitely shows that it's from the producers of 300. So the thing we were talking about before, it looks like Zack Snyder directed this movie. It's like 300 too.
Yeah, if you've seen 300, I'm pretty sure you've seen this movie.
Except we play Xerxes with Mickey Rourke.
Oh, Xerxes.
And instead of Leonidas, you have Superman.
Yes.
Which is actually gonna be like our first look at like what Henry Cavill is gonna be for Superman, like what his acting style is and stuff. Unless you've seen like the Tudors.
I suppose. Hopefully, it's not as gay. Waka
waka waka. I hope like it has like action that like lives up to like its crazy visuals like 300 did.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not just, like, crazy imagery for the entire movie.
We will see.
So, any other thoughts, Chris? Immortals?
It feels like four movies already were made. It's copies four different movies, and each of those were well done, but now it's like, let's see what happens when you mash them together.
Mm-hmm. It's like Clash of Titans and 300.
Clash of Titans, 300, even, like, the Hercules movie from Disney.
Yeah, kind of.
Even has that feel from... Even the Mickey Rourke evil villain from Iron Man 2. He's Whiplash again. He's like, hey, you know, I came from Russia. It was cold. And fuck you, Tony Stark. And now he's like, hey, I'm this demon evil king who just wants more shit for no apparent reason.
Ancient Whiplash.
Ancient Whiplash.
He'll have actual whips instead of, like, electric whips. So, yeah, that... I think it's coming out in November in 3D. And then the last trailer that came out last week was the full trailer for X-Men First Class. Did you guys, either of you guys watch this one?
No. no thanks.
Okay. You're excited about X-Men First Class, Joe?
No.
Okay. No, he's not here, no.
No, you know.
It isn't like that bad. I hate how the fact that it's supposed to be like a prequel to X-Men 1, but
yeah.
It looks like a nice X-Men movie.
A prequel to X-Men 1 with like no characters in it except like Mystique and Beast.
Yeah. Who just all forgot about this one time that they all went to school together.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like it's Matthew Vaughn who actually kick-ass, so I'm excited about see what he brings to like the franchise. And it looks like it's gonna have some pretty good action sequences in it. Like that, there's like the part at the end of the trailer where like Magneto's like stopping like all those freaking nukes or maybe just regular missiles, but that's pretty awesome. Like him like lifting the sub out of the water. I don't know. It could be good. I'm more excited about X-Men First Class than like Green Lantern. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? But I'm more optimistic that Green Lantern will surprise me.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like on paper, X-Men definitely looks like the better movie. However, you know, well, Green Lantern might, you know, just be poorly cut trailers and overhyped Dean Cook's and/or Ryan Reynolds bullshit, mm-hmm. but. You know, I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yep. So, other news from last week. We learned that Arnold is signed on for Terminator 5 with Fast and Furious director Justin Lin directing.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
What about Christian Bale?
Want me to smash your fucking lights? You and me, we're done professionally.
I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. That's the only extent I want Christian in a Terminator movie from now on.
Mm-hmm.
In the form of that song, yep. Of that mashup.
Yep. Actually, I think it was like Friday or Saturday last week. There was actually more news about this, and it said that Justin Lin wants to bring like the entire original cast. So like Michael Bean and Linda Hamilton and like.
Edward Furlong?
Maybe not Edward Furlong, but.
Hey, here's a great idea. Let's just make the fucking RoboCop vs. Terminator movie.
Oh, man, yes.
The long-awaited adaptation of the best-selling Super Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm. And comic.
Yes, and comic.
Well, I'm not sure where this is going to like fit in like the Terminator canon.
I don't think there is much of a Terminator canon anymore.
there's like three different timelines and shit.
Yeah, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You got like the Sarah Connor Chronicles timeline and like weird, not laser.
No, we don't. Could we just ignore Sarah Connor Chronicles?
I do.
Thank you. As do I.
Then you got like weird, not laser filled Christian Bale future.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Justin Lin directing it because he's like,
yeah,
he's like revitalized the Fast and Furious franchise, and he also directed one of the greatest episodes of television ever with Community Modern Warfare. So he's an awesome upcoming action director.
I'm ready for it.
I mean, just CG Arnold was awesome in Terminal Salvation, so. Like, Arnold...
That was, like, the highlight of the movie.
It was.
Like, 2 minutes of him walking, and then grenade launches the chest.
Yep.
And you know what? I was fine with that.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, the theater I was watching it in, like, people were like, oh, yeah!
Yeah, I know. People are going apeshit.
Yep. So, yeah, that's exciting news from Arnold Watch.
Arnold Watch. I love it.
Mm-hmm. So, and then last bit of news from last week, we learned that Armie Hammer, who was the Winklevoss twins in The Social Network, might be the Lone Ranger in the upcoming Gore Verbinski Johnny Depp Lone Ranger movie.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, Johnny Depp's gonna be Tonto.
Because, you know, he's like a 36th Cherokee.
Yes, he is.
I swear to God, he actually said that. He was like, well, I'm like a retardedly small fraction of Indian, so I'm kind of happy to be playing Tonto. Fuck that. They gave you a sack full of billions of dollars, mm-hmm. and you're like, I will play fucking Morgan Freeman in blackface if you want me to. Like, for that Disney money. Shit.
Wait, is it?
You'll be Tonto, and you'll smile the whole goddamn time.
Mm-hmm. I think Gore Verbinski was just, like, sitting on a yacht somewhere. It's like, no, we should remake Lone Ranger.
You're sitting on a lot on a yacht, lighting cigars with $1 million bills.
Yep. With like Jack Sparrow dolls.
they were actually on the Black Pearl.
Yeah, they were on the Black Pearl. Yes. So yeah, any thoughts about Armie Hammer as the Lone Ranger?
Fuck him.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not really, like, lining up to see the Lone Ranger.
He was great
in
The Social Network, but...
Yeah, he was, but, I mean, this ain't gonna be The Social Network.
No,
like he knew how to play, like, a fucking dumbfounded...
Jock.
Rich jock, yeah, so... I don't know how well he's gonna play the Lone Ranger, mm-hmm. but... Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, he'll always be the guy who was almost Batman in the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And, like, just as soon as they were done fitting his codpiece, they were like, oh, this isn't a movie anymore. And he was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go be in Social Network and be more significant than any of you.
Mm-hmm. I will have double the screen time.
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, so I don't know. Who knows when that movie's coming out, if it ever comes out, but...
Yeah, really.
I think we're all saying meh. Meh. Thank you. Thank you for that stereo meh, guys. So, why don't we move on to New Release Roundup, and there is not a whole hell of a lot coming out this week. So kind of like, by default, our pick of the week is the Green Hornet.
And even that is a sad pick.
Yeah. I don't know, it was a fun movie. It's definitely better than, like, the usual early January releases that come out. But I wouldn't, like, I would maybe, like, put it on the bottom of your, like, put it on your queue, but, like, don't, like, shove it up to the top or anything.
You got it, boss.
Or, like, wait for it to be on instant watch, which I'm sure it will be sometime soon.
Yeah.
It's like all those early January movies are always on instant watch. Like Legion and Daybreakers and...
Oh, Jesus.
Book of Eli. So, also coming out this week, we have The Dilemma, which is the movie no one really cared about from Ron Howard with Vince Vaughn and Kevin James.
Oh, is that the one where, like, the guy finds out his girlfriend, his, like, best friend's, like, wife is cheating?
Yep.
On, like, with Channing Tatum?
Yep. And they're also trying to develop a sound system for a solar car or some sort of, like, weird smart car that, like, makes it sound like a muscle car. I don't know. I just gathered, like, vague plot points when I walked into it at work.
Yeah, you know.
It looks horrible, so.
We can't expect you to retain much from that.
No. So, also this week we have Boy Meets World Season 5.
So, yay! Finally!
Finally! The long-awaited Season 5 of Boy Meets World.
I actually like Boy Meets World. It taught me a lot about childhood and being, like, neighbors if you're a principal slash teacher.
I like early Boy Meets World.
What?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that.
What
I'm a fan of the middle years. I mean, when Corey and Topanga are like 30 with kids, it's a little too much. Yeah. But those college years are pretty cool.
Yeah, I stopped watching after that.
Yeah, you're better off.
I think the last episode I really remember was like the one where like it was like World War II. You guys remember that one?
Oh, he has the flashback.
Oh God! Yeah, wow.
It's like, I think wasn't it like a weird like Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch like traveling through every show.
It was the TGIF, like, hey, let's see how far we can push our, like, TV shows on each other. Mm-hmm.
It was the, Jesus Christ, I, you know, may or may not have boned Melissa Joan Hart promising her a third season. So, please God, let's let some people start liking Sabrina. Mm-hmm. Seems a little more accurate to me.
Yeah, that was such a fucking weird episode. World War II, and, like, he holds the grenade too long and, like, develops amnesia somehow because he blows up. Winds up as, like, a crazy painter in France.
Oh, man.
That
was a little weird.
There's some really weird episodes in Boy Meets World.
Absolutely. Like, my favorite of all time, though, is the dual fucking birthday episode where they have to go be in Vader's corner, Frankie's dad, and
oh my
the wrestling
God, yes.
match. And go to Topanga's party, just like that episode of the Flintstones. What a fine episode.
Any episode that has Vader in it is a good episode.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
There's also
proud that you kind of know that, Joe. I'm really proud about that.
Hey, man. It's a good episode.
There's also an episode where, like, it turned into, like, Scream, and, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt was on it.
I didn't authorize that. Never heard of that one.
Like, it was like a Halloween episode.
Are they like 30 in that one? Because I would probably not been watching for a while by that point.
I think it was during when like Sean's brother showed up.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. Those are always kind of depressing. Because like, you forget that he's from like a severely broken home. Like, severely broken
yes.
home. That it's like, hey, Sean, why are you sleeping in my kitchen? Oh, because my dad OD'd, didn't buy food.
Yep.
He said if I came home without drugs or strange women, he'd beat me again.
Mm-hmm.
well, looks like someone needs a sandwich. Like, you know, all those crazy things.
And then he...
I thought that Mr. Feeny would always be in the backyard.
Yeah. You know, well, they had, like...
One hand in
his
pocket.
They had the cool, like... Was it Mr. Hunter or something? Or, like... No, because... Mr. something. Like, the motorcycle driving teacher.
The like, poor man's John Stamos.
Yep.
And, like, oh, God, what was his name?
I can't remember.
Didn't he, like, live with them?
Sean lived...
When they went to college?
No, Sean lived with him for a while. Like, guardian. Then he got in a motorcycle accident and, like, went to a coma.
I don't know why I imagine that he moved in with them.
Feeny followed them to fucking college and became, like, a professor there, or, like, the dean.
It's like, oh, I'm a professor now.
Yeah.
Apparently it just transfers over.
I just, like, Feeny just, like, stalks, like, that trio of kids.
My God, I know. It's so bad. You can never be apart from me, Mr. Matthews.
Oh, man.
You didn't wash behind your ears in the shower this morning, Mr. Matthews.
Mr. Feeny, no.
Man. Boy Meets World.
God damn. Did we really just talk that much about Boy Meets World?
I think we did.
It happened.
Yeah, you know, it went downhill for me when they changed the theme song.
Uh-huh.
You know, when it stopped being him running down the stairs, being all happy-go-lucky,
yeah.
And it turned into, like, four 28-year-olds
like
walking down the street. Yeah.
Really convertible.
Going to score smack.
But there was, like, the animated opening. Where, like, yeah, it was, like, the globe crushes him and stuff.
Yeah, that was fine with me, too. The old, did like, that was the original one.
Yeah, that
man.
Was the original one. With Minkus.
Fuck. Oh, Minkus, what a dick. Whatever happened to that kid?
He showed up, like, at high school graduation. He's like, I was on the other side of the school.
Nerd!
It was
and then
like,
they punched
it like,
him.
It was like their little sister, too. Their little sister disappeared for, like, 3 years.
Oh, yeah! He did have a little sister, didn't he?
One episode, she, like, walks down the stairs, like, I was grounded for a long time.
Like the lost Cosby child.
Yeah.
That went upstairs and... not the lost Cosby child,
Happy
like
Days.
The, No, well, that too. Family Matters. That especially dark little girl who went upstairs and just never came back and then was replaced by Richie, who looked like Lionel Richie's young son.
Oh, man.
Coincidence? I think not.
We could do a whole show about just, like, TGIF shows.
I think that's gonna happen sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's, like, an anniversary coming up for, like, one of those. Well, we just missed, like, the 20th anniversary of Dinosaurs.
Oh, man.
I think that was last week.
That's a handsome show.
Mm-hmm. With the most depressing, like, series finale ever.
Yeah. We were eradicated.
The Ice Age happens.
The Ice Age!
So, moving on from TJF shows. we have... Moving on to mid-90s Fox shows, we have Season 1 of the PJs on DVD.
Finally.
Actually, I think it's Season 1 and Season 2.
It's the complete series, which coincidentally is Season 1 and Season 2.
Okay. Oh, that was a fun show.
Yeah, man.
So, like, pre-Boondocks? But, like,
yeah,
wacky.
You know, I mean, is it, like, the best... show ever? No, but there are some good moments.
Mm-hmm.
Good characters. Don't forget, this preceded Family Guy.
Yeah.
So back then, that was the most shocking thing we had.
Yeah. Probably the only network primetime crackhead ever in a show.
Yeah. What did that bounced from, like, Fox to UPN?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's on, I think it's on, Adult Swim was showing it for a while. It
was on Adult Swim, and then it got even too... strange for those fuckers.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week we have Ninjas versus Vampires.
The logical progression.
Yeah. Which looks like...
Vampires versus things.
Looks like...
They just need things to fight.
Looks like some sort of, like, shitty Twilight ripoff with ninjas.
We're full of angst.
Yeah. And then, last thing come out this week, we have, From Dusk Till Dawn coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh, sweet.
Which,
approved.
Amazing movie.
Yeah.
One of the best vampire movies ever made.
Totes.
So, yeah, that's going to do it for News Roundup. So, why don't we get into our special feature for the week, which is our big summer blockbuster season preview. And, man, this summer is just jam-packed with stuff. So, I don't know.
Jam-packed.
I don't know how you guys want to do this. You want to just, like, run down? I have a list of, like, stuff that's, like, relevant to us. You want me to just, like, run it down?
I suppose.
Okay.
I actually got to get going, but...
Well, we can do it quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to play it fast and sloppy, I could certainly...
As usual.
Marathon through it. Oh, yeah. That's how I live my life.
So, kicking off, we had Fast Five last week, which kicked it off, and which was awesome. But this week,
totally.
I guess, is like the official start with Thor. You guys excited for Thor?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I was going to be this excited for it, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
Each trailer like made it look better and better.
Yeah, they did a very good job at handling the marketing mm-hmm. of this movie. Won't lie to you. Plus, I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No. I was gonna say like my only problem is that all the trailers like I still don't know who he's fighting besides like the giant robot who comes to destroy Earth.
Well,
eventually.
He's fighting himself.
I'm sure Loki is gonna have some sort of crazy plot as usual in a Thor movie.
Yeah.
Or Thor.
Maybe because I just don't know a lot about the Thor mythos. Like I don't know who his natural enemy is besides Loki. But that's just a given. You know?
Yeah.
His natural enemy is alcohol.
Well, this looks like that was Iron Man, Joe.
Well, no, but he's like always. Never mind.
Mead.
Yes, Mead.
Asgardian Mead.
Mead and loose-lipped wenches don't know their place and need to get back in the kitchen.
I think it looks like a typical Thor story from the Thor movie. He's gonna fight frost giants, get banished to Earth. Loki has some crazy plan, and then Thor has to come back and save them. And Odin will probably go into like Odin's sleep or something. Because, like,
probably.
Odin always has to, like, hibernate during, like, a Thor story. I must regain my power.
Nap time.
Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait to see, like, how crazy Anthony Hopkins is in this movie.
Yeah, that should be fun. Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's going to have some good action, like, good tie-in to, like, the rest of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, definitely.
And I guess I think... Didn't they say there's going to be, like, a Hawkeye cameo, probably, too?
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be awesome. Hopefully, maybe some Nick Fury.
Yeah, that would be very good, too. I'm sure he'll be in it. He's in everything.
Probably a crazy end credits scene, too, setting up Captain America or Avengers.
Yeah, actually, what what had me most excited about this was seeing that picture they released from the Avengers set. That was, like, the four chairs.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, and Thor mm-hmm. all sitting next to each other. I was like, whoa, it's really happening.
Yep. Filming started last week.
Sure diddly did.
So, next movie I have on the list is Super 8, which I think we've made our feelings known about on this podcast, but...
Not excited for it, but still want to see how it pans out.
I'm willing to let it, like... win me over, but I'm like not excited for it really.
Yeah. Oh, if it's good, I'm not gonna fight it. But I just couldn't see it being that great.
I hope it's good.
Any movie where you have the fucking rabbit in the hat like that, where it's like, what's it gonna be? Mm-hmm. What's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? And then there's a big reveal. It's gonna suck.
Mm-hmm.
The Cloverfield monster. Was anyone happy with that? Did anyone see that and go, whoa, radical?
Mind blown.
Oh my god.
I think, like, the ticks, like, the little flea ticks were, like, cooler than the actual monster.
We got a bite!
Yeah, I'm hoping it's good and that, like, but I'm just, like, not buying the ridiculous hype or anything about it.
Yeah. Not buying it.
Mm-hmm. All the other websites, like, wanking off, so, like, any little information about
it. Oh, super right.
There's a new... Someone found a new frame in the trailer!
Jesus Christ, we need to analyze this.
Yep. God, viral website! Chris, any thoughts about Super 8?
E.T. Part 2.
Okay. E.T. strikes back.
And this time, he wants sex.
That would be disturbing.
Right?
So, next thing on my list, Captain America, I think probably...
Fuck yeah!
I think easily our most excited, anticipated movie of the summer. I know it's mine.
Mine too. Mm-hmm. Number one.
I mean,
number one.
Trailer looks awesome. I mean, Red Skull looks amazing.
Plus, we're probably going to get another trailer as well.
Yeah, I'm sure with like X-Men or Thor. Probably with Thor, actually. Yeah,
absolutely, Thor. I'm hoping for an Avengers teaser with Thor.
It's probably too early.
I mean, even if it just is like the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo.
Mm-hmm.
It says like, Avenging 2012.
We're avenging the year 2012.
It's happening, bitches.
Or it's like, Samuel Jackson comes out and like, yo, Avengers, motherfucker.
It's the Avengers, motherfucker.
That'd be the greatest trailer ever.
Yeah, I agree with that, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything looks off, like all like the settings and costumes and everything looks awesome. It's good, like
even if it weren't Captain America, even if it were just a period piece,
Rocketeer 2.
Yeah, Rocketeer 2, it would look fucking badass.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Captain America, definitely our most anticipated movie this summer.
Totes.
Next on the list, Transformers 3. We mentioned it in news, but. Hopefully it's good. Don't want to get my hopes up too high because Transformers 2 smashed all my hopes and dreams, but... You know, Michael Bay, everyone apologized, so... He promised, like, the racist twins were going to be in this movie, and... We got, like, a...
Now, where did that come from?
The racist twins.
God damn it, that was so brutal.
Yeah. Hopefully, like, Sam's internet, like, college friend is gone, too.
Oh, that, like, Middle Eastern guy that's like, oh, the aliens are about me, they're gonna get me!
Yeah, like the internet, like, startup in, like, their crazy five-bedroom dorm room with, like, a soda machine and shit in it.
Oh, man.
And then we're gonna have, like, Shockwave and crazy moon-based Decepticons and shit. And there's gonna be, like, at least... We're guaranteed at least one awesome Optimus Prime action scene, so. Which looks like, it looks like from the trailer, it's gonna be like the one where like he's like got the jets and, like spinning through like with like double blades killing Decepticons.
Yeah, but like, I think they depend on Optimus Prime way too much. They did in the second movie where like he did everything at the end.
Yeah.
And then now this movie's kind of like a repeat of that one scene. Now like stretch the whole movie.
Well, the best scene in Transformers 2 was like the part where like. In the woods, where, like, he's fighting off Megatron and Starscream.
Yeah, well. It still wasn't a good movie. I don't know.
Transformers 2 is not a good movie, but... Hopefully this would be more in line with Transformers 1.
Yeah. It didn't want to make me buy a Ford car.
New... What is, What's Bumblebee, a Mustang or?
It's a Charger. Camaro, Chevy, yes. Camaro.
Yeah, it's all Chevy, I think. Like F-150.
You know what? Either way.
So, next thing on the list that we already talked about, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2. Brian said that's one of his most anticipated movies. Like I said, I'm just gonna wait till they're all on DVD or Blu-ray and just watch them all. Apollo 18 has been bumped back to the summer after the game delayed till 2012, but they're like, okay, we'll release in summer.
Glad to see that it's actually getting a summer release.
Mm-hmm. It looks really cool. It's got the like the 60s style camera, like found footage. Crazy shit happening on the moon.
Well, thing is, with those found footage movies, I'm very like. The last one I saw that was in theaters was Paranormal like Activity.
Yeah.
And even that, I watched the Asylum Film version, Paranoid Entity.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Ugh. I hate found footage genre. But this one looks exciting because it's like NASA found footage genre. Like, this is a good way to appease to like the government to get more money for NASA, you know?
They completely captured like the feel of like 60s cameras, too, which looks great.
But yeah, like, you know, like, they're slowing down the NASA funding?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this movie should be like, okay, this is why we should go back.
We have to go find that like crazy moon base or whatever else up there.
Yeah.
We have to go capture the evil alien sickness that's up there. I don't know what the hell's going on there. It's like, they find bodies up there, like, destroyed ships and, like crushed spacesuits and, like, getting crazy space sickness.
Yeah. It seems like a good movie. Because yeah. It seems like, it's really hard to put the trailer together. That's why I really like it, because it's, like, really difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I can kind of piece together, like, trailers to understand the overall arc plot. But because it's so much, like, disjointed things going on, I'm like, yes.
It doesn't really spoil anything. It's just like, oh my god, crazy shit's happening.
Yeah. I really hope they don't release a trailer that explains half of it, because I just want to know, like,
yeah.
Like, I'm just bewildered and excited, you know? I'm just like, I don't know why.
It definitely seems like it could be, like, an underdog pick for the summer.
Well, you know, remember that movie Moon that came out?
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, one teaser trailer, and then it came out, mm-hmm. and that was it. And I liked that movie. It was really good.
Yep.
And this movie almost has that kind of feel of like, well, I don't know, not the same feel, but that whole like, you don't, what you think is what you think, and what is happening is like, you know, it's the truth, and it's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, next on my list is Priest.
Nope.
No.
Pass.
No. Wait, wait.
Absolutely pass.
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban.
No, wait, is
looking like a douchey Zorro.
Well, he's supposed to be an evil vampire cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no and thanks. Paul Bettany. Say that sentence out loud one more time.
Paul Bettany is like religious action hero again.
Yeah.
Instead of an angel, he's a priest now.
He's getting downgraded.
It could looks like it could be awesomely bad.
Yeah, no, I'm not denying that it'll be awesomely bad, but
looks like
count me
looks
out.
Looks like it'd be funny if you're like drunk.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably see it because I get and I'll report out back onto on site. My free passes. Hmm. I definitely want to pay for Priest, but I'm getting free movies, so might as well see it. Oh, Joe left, so just me and you, Chris.
Hmm?
Joe, like, leaves so abruptly from the podcast.
Alright, well.
He's like, Ninja smokes out. So,
okay.
We'll talk about a couple more of the movies coming out, and then we'll wrap it up.
Sure.
So, next on my list, we have Bridesmaids. I don't know if you heard about this one, Chris.
Oh, it's like, it's pretty much like opposite Hall Pass.
Kind of.
It's kind of like just this friend helping her best friend get married, and it's like more comical, because in real life, no, this shit would happen.
Yeah. It's like Lady Hangover.
Sort of, except no one gets, like, wasted. They're all just, like, really weird women that just, like, are friends, mm-hmm. and they plan an awful party.
Yeah. Well, it's getting, like, really good reviews and stuff, and I guess, I think Judd Apatow produced it, so it's, like, in that
vein of comedy. You know, I might see it. It's definitely, like, if there's nothing else to do, and I just have, like, money to burn,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, okay. But it's only a movie I would watch on Netflix. That's something, like, I would watch and just not tell people, and then, like, watch it and be like, you know, you really should watch this. This is actually a good movie.
Yeah. It's probably getting overshadowed by The Hangover, though.
Hangover 2.
Hangover Part 2, which is the next movie on my list. You excited for that one, Chris?
Yeah. It sucks that it doesn't place in Vegas, because that would have been great again, but it's nice to see them change location, but it just these things that just it's a different place of location.
Yeah, but like
and
the same exact things happen.
Yeah, which I'm fine with, but I just hope there's not like a third movie because I just want this to be like a Hangover 1 was such a self-contained movie.
Yeah,
and the second one I'm like, all right, they're just extending it and they're showing like change, but I don't need to see anymore.
Like, who would go missing and like where would they be in like going over Part 3?
Yeah,
like space. I don't know.
Hangover in space.
I'm glad that why am I blanking on this? Oh, Ken Jeong is his bigger part in this one.
What's the thing about characters like that? In the first movie, they're funny as hell because of the small role time they had, you know?
Yeah.
And in this one, I was like, if he's gonna be a big player, like I don't want him to be like part of the main cast.
I don't know. I love everything he does, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see it.
Senor Chang! Next movie on the list, Pirates of the Caribbean. The fourth...
I still can't believe there's a fourth movie.
The fourth like, Pirates movie.
I know, I can't believe there's a number four. It's, for me, that's like... It felt like it was kind of like... It was on teetering if they should make a third movie, because the trilogy at the time was like, okay, it was pretty self-contained. And now it's like, and boom, let's end on this fourth one out of nowhere.
Just like
starring,
spin-off.
Starring maybe a half the original cast.
No, yeah, Jeffrey Rush and Johnny Depp, and that's it.
Like, not even, like, I actually enjoyed the secondary characters, or the third characters, you know, like the extra pirates, some of the wacky townspeople.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, like, no one. Now it's, like, Johnny Depp and, like, bootleg Orlando Bloom. There's, yeah, there's, like, another romance. There's two other characters who I saw for the trailer who plays just like Orlando Bloom's character, and
I don't even know who the
Karen Knightley's
character. They haven't even like said who those people are or anything. It's just like
nope.
And they're not even in like the new trailers or anything.
No, they're in the trailer. They're the people kissing.
Yeah, I don't like who like I don't even know what the hell is going on with them.
I don't know, but I just felt like is that like a new Orlando Bloom? Like they're trying to make that the new couple because it seems like Johnny Depp's character it can't be with somebody.
No,
he can be flirting with Penelope Cruz's character all the time, but. We have, like, another secondary character who, like, you know, it's kind of like their romance plot.
Mm-hmm. But, like,
I don't know.
Ian McShane as Blackbeard is, like, genius casting, though.
Yeah, I really like his costume design already.
And another, like, cameo from Keith Richards.
Really?
As Jack Sparrow's dad.
Huh.
He's like, don't go after the Fountain of Youth, Jackie. It'll mess with your mind.
It's like, Dad, I died like some movies ago.
Yeah.
And I'm fine.
Got eaten by a Kraken.
Yeah. I went to Davy Jones's locker. It was nice. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of time. I got a nice tan.
There were weird crabs there.
My friends found me, so apparently it's not that hard to get out
it's
of.
It's like mini versions of me. So, next on my list, Kung Fu Panda 2. Anything, Chris? I thought the first one was okay.
Yeah, the first one was okay. I thought it was a self-contained movie. I don't understand why there's a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see it, for only because Jackie Chan calls in
yeah.
as the monkey.
Yeah. So. Sort of in a similar vein, Cars 2. I don't know.
It's not one of my favorite series, so I don't understand why they made like a sequel to it.
Well, because it made like $11 billion on merchandising and DVDs and stuff.
Because it bantered to like rednecks who love like Disney and Cars.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. Just the Cars raises more questions.
It does.
To me. Just like what? How do cars move without gas? And like,
who makes the cars?
Who makes the gas?
Like,
and
where do baby cars come from? How do cars age? It's disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
It's disturbing when you think about it. There are no answers. Why are there, like, why are the bugs cars? Like, because you remember those, like, the lightning bugs were, like, yeah. little cars and stuff?
Yep.
It's weird. Are there people? Like, how do they build buildings? Well, I guess they have, like, construction vehicles, but...
Who makes them?
Yeah, like, is there just some, like, weird, like automated factory somewhere that just, like, pumps out, like, sentient cars?
Of course, I'm also enjoying the movie, but for me, I'm like, I understand the whole story and the plot
yeah.
and little meanings, but I was just kind of like, it's not my favorite.
Like, talking bugs, I can understand, like, monsters, yep.
Yeah, monsters.
It makes perfect sense, they're in a parallel universe or whatever. Car,
yeah.
Like, sentient cars, like, I don't, like, there's too many questions.
Too many questions. Break the immersion.
Yeah. Like, the only thing I'm excited about for, like, Cars 2 is that Michael Caine is in it, it's like a James Bond car. So.
See, but if I want to watch a Michael Caine movie, I'll watch a Michael Caine movie,
yeah,
like Harry Brown. I don't need to watch Michael Caine in like being a car.
Yeah. So, next movie that we already talked about before about X-Men First Class. Seems like it could go either way, like be awesome or be horrible.
like, it's a little more exciting to me to see the trailer instead of, like, you know, Wolverine X-Men Origins.
Yeah.
But
anything is better than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
I don't know, man. I liked it. It's better than 3.
3 is better than X-Men Origins, in my opinion. Ooh.
All right. But I like the visuals. I like the character casting. I just don't like that it has to continue with X-Men, the first movie. So.
Yep. It's got Kevin Bacon in it.
Yeah, I like that. He's Sebastian Shaw, which is awesome.
It's going to have, like, a whole 60s vibe, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, next on my list we have Cowboys and Aliens. John Favreau. He's had 2 big summer hits already. That Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, I mean.
It's all sarcastic, but. It could be
big, stupid summer fun.
Well, John Favreau, I guess he doesn't give a shit. Like, he knew the title sounds silly, but, like, he made Iron Man 1 and 2. He is rolling in money. He could afford to make this movie all over again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, it looks like it could be good. I like the crazy, like, people getting lassoed instead of, like, the alien ships and stuff. It could be, like, Western Independence Day or something.
Could have. But there's also that mystery where Daniel Craig forgot what he did, so that's why people are pissed at him and stuff. And I'm more interested in that plot than aliens pop up.
The Harrison Ford. Like, it's like, I want that man! Give me that man! It's also got Sam Rockwell in it.
Really?
Yep.
Did not know
he's
that
the guy, if you watch, like, the second trailer, he's got, like, the glasses and the crazy mustache. Oh, he's only in the trailer for like a little bit, but let's see. Next movie on my list, Green Lantern, sort of the DC's sort of big superhero movie for the summer.
We make other things besides Batman and Superman.
Yep. Like this guy. I don't know. Like we've only seen like that. Like we've seen like the one trailer and then like that weird extended footage trailer thing from WonderCon.
I didn't see the WonderCon one. I figure if I see too much of the trailer and if I actually go see the Green Lantern movie, like, I'm gonna get, like, upset. And plus it'll be like, I know what scenes are coming up next, so I kinda know what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't wanna do that. Because, you know, it's kinda like Van Wilder with powers now.
Yeah.
The movie.
Like, I don't know, like, what tone it wants to be, too, because, like, the trailers make it seem like Iron Man, but then, like, it turns, like, super serious at the end of them and stuff, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to feel about it. I was like, oh, let's go wait.
Yeah. Let's see. Rise of the Planet of the Apes is also coming out this summer.
Yeah, no. I'm a big Planet of the Apes. I'm not a big fan of it, but, like, I enjoy the originals.
Yeah.
The remakes don't make sense.
Like, we already had, like, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, so. And, like, I don't know, is this, like, a prequel to, like, the Tim Burton one, or?
It's the prequel to, like, that's any, almost. That's what it's supposed to be. It's just a history moment. It doesn't really matter where it fits in.
Mm-hmm. I still think it's, like, Deep Blue Sea with monkeys. But.
Samuel Jackson. We're all gonna survive! Oh, my God, monkey!
I've had it with these motherfucking monkeys in this motherfucking city. Let's see. Well, 30 minutes or less. We talked about, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. Coming out in August. Ruben Fleischer, director of Zombieland.
It seems like another perfect stoner comedy, though.
Yeah. Like, it's got enough distance from Hangover that's not going to get, like, buried by it and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Final Destination 5 apparently is coming out this summer, too. Who knows what that's going to be about, but.
I haven't seen The Final Destination.
The Final Destination, yeah. I've heard it's horrible.
Huh.
Like, they go from, like, huge multi-car pileup on an expressway to, like, disaster in a NASCAR track.
is that what happens in The Final Destination?
Yeah, they go to a NASCAR race, and then they get the vision of, like, cars crashing, like, tires flying into the stand and killing people, and like engines flying and hitting people in the face and stuff.
See, number three was actually my. I like number three a lot because of the whole like carnival thing. Yep. And
what,
it falling off the track.
Didn't that have like a pitcher thing going too? Like the pitchers showed like who was next and stuff.
Yeah, someone took like class photos and they show in the order of what's going to happen, and then might hint at where they'll die, which was kind of nice. Yeah. But I thought that movie was like okay,
kind of cool, like done. Goosebumpsy, like Sitchy's died or something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, apparently coming out this summer, Conan the Barbarian, the remake reimagining. We only had that one horrible teaser trailer that showed nothing, but just like smoke.
It's smoke and maybe like a muscle.
Yeah. Then like
skull.
I live. I love. I slay.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of the reboot because I felt like Kevin Sorbo did a better version of one of those direct to DVD movies.
Wasn't it like Call the Conqueror or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like a prequel to like all the Conan movies because like isn't Call like Conan's uncle or stepfather or something? Some weird.
Really? Yeah. They're related?
I think they're somehow related.
I didn't know that. I thought, like, for copyright rights, they would say Cole or Conan.
Yeah, I think somehow like, Cole is, like, his ancestor or something like that. I don't know. I guess people are excited because I guess they're basing it more on, like, the original stories.
I guess.
Yeah. It's going to be, like, R-rated, I guess, too. And 3D, so. And the teaser poster was kind of cool, too, where, like, he's, like, standing on, like, a pile of skulls.
Yeah. And the website's even more hilarious.
This is, like, the motion poster, which is, like, the wind moving and stuff.
Yeah.
So, last couple to talk about. Fright Night is apparently coming out this summer, too. We haven't heard anything about that movie.
Well, Fright Night's a remake
of the classic 80s vampire movie.
I like the original one because it was like the director who did Monster Squad.
Yep.
So that's the only reason why I saw the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fright Night, I don't know why they remade it. They could just make another movie, you know, that's like, oh, well, Fright Night was an awesome movie. I'm like, really?
It was, I didn't think it was that awesome. It was good for the 80s.
Yeah, but so a lot of things, like Teen Wolf, but
yeah.
I just hope they don't make Teen Wolf again.
Oh, God. Well, have you seen the trailer for the MTV show? Oh, my God.
Didn't.
Yeah, it's like so Twilight-ified, it's like, it's ridiculous.
It's like an American Teen Wolf?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, The Hills Wolf or something. Except not like reality show, but like scripted, but
it's like, oh, I love a fake reality TV show like that. Like, this is Fred. He's a wolf. He lives in a suburban community.
It's like Teen Wolf Diaries or something. You know, there's like that horrible WB show, Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
This is like Werewolf Diaries or something.
That seems horrible.
Mm-hmm. But I guess like this remake of Fright Night has like Colin Farrell and like Anton Yelchin and McLovin in it and stuff, so.
Alright, well, if the cast is in it, maybe, you know. I just don't need to see a revisioning tale of the same story.
Mm-hmm. I might have to watch the original again, because it's on Netflix to watch. And then, last thing to talk about this for summer preview is Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which is coming out really, like, pretty much like the last thing coming out this summer.
I forgot that movie. I thought that movie came out already.
No.
Well, the original, like, is weird and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
This is, but, like, Guillermo del Toro is producing this one, so. It's probably definitely going to have, like, crazy creature designs and stuff.
I hope so, because the original, it's like they're just little midget green people.
Yeah. They sort of look like, I don't know, you only see, like, a little bit of them in, the, like, the original trailer that came out, like, I think last year, but, well, it was the Comic-Con trailer, but, they look like the little tooth fairies from, Hellboy.
Yeah, little angry aquamarina alien
things that eat
demon
teeth.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. teeth fairies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like it's gonna be pretty creepy. So, I don't know. It could be like another underdog, like Apollo 18.
Yeah, but I'm hoping Palpatine becomes more than an underdog.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, under the radar. So, yeah, that's pretty much the entire summer. So,
Yeah, categorize.
So, like, what's your, like, most anticipated one, Chris?
I don't want it to be, but it seems like the Avengers, the Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Only because, like, I just want... It's not going to fail. Mm-hmm. You know? Maybe the story might not make sense, but Marvel puts too much money into it, and there's too much hype going on that if it does bad, it'll make up for it in the Avengers movie. So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
But it looks awesome, so.
It does.
I think like Rocketeer is like a super underrated movie, so definitely has that vibe.
Yeah. But the cool part is that it's not going to, like, fast-forward through hit, they're actually going to explain up to the point where Captain America gets frozen or something.
Yeah.
To be found. So that's going to be cool. I mean, you know, I can predict the end where, like, he fights Red Skull, something explodes, both of them get frozen,
it's gonna be,
and then the black eyes.
I'm sure it's going to be, like, classic, like, they launch a rocket or something, and, like, Captain America's, like, has to, like, jump on the rocket to stop it. Then falls off into the Arctic Circle or whatever. That's pretty much like the tip, like the classic, like Captain America gets frozen story. Because Red Skull and Hydra are like always, they're like trying to develop nuclear weapons or something for the Nazis.
Do they explain that they have a Bucky or they don't have a Bucky?
I don't know if they've said that because I don't think we might have seen Bucky in the trailer, but I'm not sure if we have.
Hmm. Oh well,
he's got the Howling Commandos with him, so
that's cool.
Like Dum Dum Dugan with his crazy mustache.
Which is weird, because isn't Dum Dum Dugan supposed to be a modern day S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, not like one of those days?
Well, I think he's just like older in modern S.H.I.E.L.D. times.
He has to be really old then.
Well, oh, there is a James Bucky Barnes listed in the credits for Captain America. So
cool. That's cool.
I don't know if he's...
I just hope they don't Winter Soldier him.
I don't know if he's been, like, crazy, like, Captain America Jr. with, like, crazy costume and stuff. Even though it was pretty awesome in the Avengers cartoon. If you watch, like, there was the Captain America web episodes that came out before the show started.
Didn't see it.
You should watch it. Go on YouTube and watch those. All right, so, I think that's pretty much do it for this week, edition of the Everything Action Cast. If you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. You can also find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com, searching for Everything Action, joining our group on there. We list our news stories as they go up. You can comment on those. You can leave us links to other news stories. Chat with us. So definitely check that out. On twitter.com/EVAction is our Twitter account. Joe runs that, and he links to a bunch of news stories, comments on some stuff. It's nice to see live vlogs during movies. So definitely follow EV Action on Twitter. And we're also on iTunes by going to the iTunes Music Store, searching for Everything Action Cast, and you can subscribe, rate us, leave comments. Also on there is an app you can download for your iPhone or iPad iPod Touch, and you can it's free, gives you the last 20 news stories, and also let you listen to the podcast. And you can also email us by emailing at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Joe and Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.